Orange in the Central West's 105.1 Triple M. We're brought to you thanks to Harvey Norman in the Orange Grove Homemaker Centre. Time to talk agriculture now, and joining us online, Bruce Reynolds. Good morning to you.
G'day, Neil.
Mate, I thought being the last one for the year, we might take a look back over the year in agriculture. Let's have a look back over 2021. How would you sum it up overall?
Oh, what a challenge, I suppose you could say, Neil. I said we've had some good highs and we've had a number of lows, I suppose, over the year. Of course, COVID, for the second year in a row, has had a huge impact. But on the other side, the seasonal-wise, it's generally been pretty good. In fact, probably too good, but you're better off to have it too good than too much drought. So, yeah, overall, probably like most years, fairly challenging, but look, most producers have walked away fairly happy at the end, as in, of course, there are some that have suffered severe losses, as we've seen with the flooding, etc., particularly along the Lachlan Valley. So yeah, not everyone has had a successful year, but I think you would say a lot have, particularly in the livestock game.
Now, the supply chain issues that we've had globally, surely that's been a disruption?
Oh, it certainly has. And you and I have talked through the year about some of the challenges that, you know, we were foreseeing, and I was highlighting, particularly, you know, chemical supplies. And it's been a real challenge to get a lot of chemicals, a lot of chemicals being withheld from China for domestic use within China, plus other supply chain disruptions with containers, with waterfront disputes, and a number of other challenges have really made it very difficult from that point of view. Interesting enough, even pallets, so that, you know, those wooden pallets that most commodities come on and on the back of trucks,
yep.
As in, they've been in really short supply around Australia this year and difficult to get, even right through to, you know, the current harvest with cherries. Mm. Difficult to get enough pallets to actually put your cherries boxes on to send them back to the, you know, the markets around Australia. So, and of course, fertiliser as well. Very tight supply chain there with fertiliser.
All right. Now, it's been a good season in terms of rainfall, but how have prices for animals been?
Well, I think you could say for cattle, exceptional this year. I think people were sort of saying at the beginning of the year, oh, we can't sustain these prices. And they've just gone up for cattle, as in unbelievable prices. As in, let's hope that they hold, because you're seeing very big money paid for grazing properties, even around this part of the world, as we highlighted a couple of weeks ago. Huge money per acre for grazing country. Sheep, on the other side, as in, they've done okay, I think is the best way to sum it up. They've been very good prices and good returns, so sheep producers wouldn't be complaining either. Probably a lot of problems with fly strike at the moment, with the amount of humid conditions that we're having, but overall you'd have to say high, and of course consumers are paying for it, so you're paying for it at the butcher shop, you're paying for it in the supermarket with much higher, particularly beef prices, than what we saw 12 months ago.
All right, let's turn our attention to cropping now. What about grain prices?
Well, they've been pretty good, but this weather event, or these weather events, particularly November, has seen a lot of downgrading. So once you get off the premium grades, then there's a big price drop. But worldwide, you know, prices for wheat and particularly canola prices have never been at this higher level before. So really fantastic prices. But again, a lot of downgrading of canola with the amount of rain that we've had right across the state. So, and a lot of wheat sprung and shot, and, you know, will only be feed grain at best. But at least with the last couple of weeks being drier, I won't say dry, but drier, we are seeing, you know, the opportunity for most producers to get in and harvest. But it is late this year, but the harvest is probably a couple of weeks later than you'd normally expect right across the state. So, look, again, good prices and a big yield. So hopefully the combination of the two sees, you know, producers 2 years in a row getting reasonable returns and back on their feet after the severe drought conditions that we had in the cropping areas.
What about horticulture?
It's a different story, as in particularly locally apples, as in very limited demand. There's still a lot of apples sitting in CA rooms, cool rooms in the local area. demand very, very weak, and COVID has probably led to that with, you know, the COVID shutdowns, and particularly the school lunchbox. A lot less apples demanded this year, so prices have been pretty ordinary to low for apples. Cherries, on the other side, as in because the beginning of the year we saw the end of the last season, which we saw pretty good prices, and this year quality again bringing big money, but the season again 2 to 3 weeks late. So there'll be a lot of good quality cherries, but after Christmas, around that New Year's time, you'll be seeing the best quality cherries from the orange area, and hopefully demand is still there once Christmas is over, and that fruit that's 2 to 3 weeks later hits the palate and gives good prices for producers.
Okay, let's talk about the weather. It has been the real talking point this year, the change in forecast. We're now in a La Nina pattern.
We are, but they're expecting it to break reasonably quickly. So maybe early in the new year that it'll start to downgrade the La Nina. We just don't know exactly when, but we've seen, you know, November here, record-breaking rainfall in the orange area. Of course, we've seen the flooding, but and it's also had a huge impact. It's just slowed down. Being so wet, so cloudy, plants just aren't growing. And as I mentioned, like the cherries are 2 to 3 weeks late. So, but as I mentioned also earlier, there's far more money in mugs than there is in dust. So, yeah. As you know, I'd rather see an above-average year than or a record-breaking year than another drought.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, looking forward to 2022, what are your expectations?
Well, I think supply-wise, is it still going to be tight? Look, I'm reasonably pessimistic with regard to the apple industry. I'm expecting that we'll see more apples pushed out. There's another good crop on the trees at the moment. A bit of hail was around, so there's a little bit of hail damage, but most of it was netted. It's just the lack of demand, so much competition from other fruits these days that apples are finding it difficult. So, you know, I'm expecting more trees to be pushed out. We talked about that 12 months ago, and it looks a similar sort of situation again. But from a price point of view, particularly livestock, you'd expect that, well, you'd hope that it'll remain strong, but whether it comes off the boil, particularly for beef a little bit, and grain again, you know, production may increase around the world, so prices may come back for grain products in the next 12 months. But who knows? 12 months ago, we were hoping COVID was over, and we've still got major issues with it at the moment. So it's as good as your crystal ball as mine on where we're going to end up at the end of 2022, Neil.
Yeah, fantastic. Bruce Reynolds is with us. Thank you, as always, for your company right throughout this year. Hope we can do it again in the new year, mate. Thanks for your time, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you very much, Neil. I'd just like to wish all your listeners the best of the festive season, and hopefully we have a fantastic 2022.